Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time. FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby. Come on.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to Fet Life Station Internet Radio. You are listening to Life Without Parole, LWAP Radio. My name is Stacey Mandel. I'm in Philadelphia, where it is definitely still a Philly thing. And I co-host this show with my friend Robert Groves, aka Reentry Rob, who is about 26, 27 years down on his life without the possibility of parole sentence at SCI Phoenix. So this morning, we are really pleased to feature Mr. Larry Stromberg. Larry is serving a life without parole sentence at SCI Phoenix, and he's going to be on in a moment. And then afterwards, Reentry Rob himself is going to call in, so at about 9:16, and he's going to interview another guest of ours, Mr. Larry Kirshner, who is a longtime friend of Mr. Larry Stromberg's. And then we're going to save the best for last, Diane Stromberg, who is Larry's mother. She is going to be on the line with us, and I will be speaking with her. So without further ado, let's get to Mr. Larry Stromberg, who is at Phoenix.
And we are now going to speak with Mr. Stromberg. Good morning, Mr. Stromberg. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, Stacey?
I'm doing okay here. Doing okay. We're really appreciative that you're able to call in and join us to share your story a bit.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes. So can you please introduce yourself a bit to our listeners, starting with your age, how long you've been incarcerated, and what your particular sentence is?
Okay. Well, I'm 57 years old, and I've been incarcerated for over 27 years. And I'm serving a life sentence.
So what I've noticed since I've been interviewing people with life sentences, death by incarceration sentences, is that many have different ways to cope, right, with this life in prison. How have you coped?
Well, first of all, one thing is staying close to my faith as a Christian has been a lifeline for me. And, of course, maintaining my relationships with my loving family and friends is very important. I'm very grateful for all those relationships. And, unfortunately, some of my dear family members and friends have passed on. So it's important to stay close to those that we love, because tomorrow they could be gone. I'm always trying to improve my education as much as I can. I'm about to start attending Villanova University here at SCI Phoenix. I've completed many educational and institutional programs. I'm a certified peer support specialist, which is a CPS. What we do is we help those with mental health issues here at the institution. And I'm certified with the Mental Health Association of Pennsylvania. I enjoy helping people. I also work as a hospice worker with terminally ill inmates in the medical infirmary area as well, and I've been doing that for 3 years. And one of the main things that I do is I exercise every day to maintain my
health. This is a call from SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
I exercise every day to maintain my health and my mental health balance. Helps me to keep balance and, just to stay focused on the things that I got to do every day here. And makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah. Everyone's connection, to the outside world is different. So who do you consider your supporters, and how have you been able to maintain your connection with them from behind bars?
Well, this is it. secret here by always being sincere and honest with my family and friends. I encourage them as much as they encourage me through it all. My mother and my niece, Amber, they need encouragement just as much as I do, you know, so everybody needs encouragement. That's important. Also, I've been getting many of my written works published by many online publishers, and it's been a great way to meet new supporters that believe in my writing and stuff like that, and that's been a really good outlet for me in meeting new people across the country. Places like Minutes Before Six in California is an online publishing a publisher for inmate writers, and a woman named Dina. I got really close with her with my writing, so that's been a really cool thing.
So, yeah, Rob tells me that you are an author, a poet.
This is a call from SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
You're an author, a poet, a screenwriter, an actor, lots of titles. So when and where did you discover your passion for these artistic expressions?
Well, as a child, my mom had me and my sister Michelle try out for plays when we were real young. We loved it. And my mother and father believed in our artistic gifts. So me and Michelle were in acting school as teenagers in Philadelphia and New York. And since then, I've worked on many plays and films out in society. And since my incarceration, I've been blessed to stage over 70 plays. In fact, my play, I'm Here For You, is a 2019 Pen America winner, so I'm really proud of that.
Say the name of the play again.
It's called I'm Here For You.
Okay.
And it can be found at www.pen.org.
Okay. So is there a story or a message that you're trying to convey through your writing, through your talents?
Yeah, this is the main thing. I believe that redemption is possible. Even in the most horrendous and difficult circumstances. And when I act and write a play or a poem or a screenplay, I try to apply that saying that redemption is possible.
Tell us, who is Larry Stromberg today? If you were released soon, what would the remaining days of your life be like?
I believe I am a remorseful, humble, and caring human being. A man who takes full accountability and responsibility for his actions that convicted me of a death by incarceration prison sentence. If I was given a second chance back out in society, I would love to pursue my acting. I'm still a member of the Screen Actors Guild. I will continue to write plays and poems and screenplays that I hope will leave a legacy of hope in some way. It would be a great thing if I could make a feature film again. Like, I did make one film. It's called Spiritual Warfare. It's on YouTube under my name. I also plan to continue my CPS work to help the hurting, help grant a second chance out in society. And of course, I want to spend time, precious time with my family and friends as well. I need to do that. In fact, I think we all need to do that. That's my goals. And that's my purpose, so right there.
Yeah. So we have a few minutes left. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the world, whoever may be listening, that we didn't touch upon?
Okay. Well, first of all, I thank you, Stacey, for this opportunity to tell my story. I especially want to thank Robert Groves and Suave and the Groves Notebook for everything they're doing to tell the other side of life and stories. And there are a lot of men here over the years of my incarceration. Most of us just made one mistake. We're not all monsters like society paints out to be. Many of us are doing great things behind the razor wire, and I'm hoping that people learn that. There are good men here, just made one mistake. They're not bad people. They're really good guys. Or good women, too. So... I'm just grateful for the opportunity to tell my story, and the main thing I want to say, and I want to emphasize this, that I believe that redemption is a possible thing. So, thank you.
Of course. It's my pleasure. And just out of curiosity, are you working on anything right now?
Well, I'm redrafting a play that I've been working on called Life Behind the Razor Wire. And there's this place in California called Authors Inside. They agreed to publish it. So I'm just doing the redraft now, and they're gonna publish the whole play for me and put it on Amazon. And I'm also working on another play I wrote called Second Chance. And I have a screenplay I wrote that USC is the whole film department are redrafting for me. So yeah, it's amazing. I'm finding opportunities even though I'm incarcerated. And I'm always putting stuff on this for 4-6. And I also have an essay that I wrote that's been published on freedomwriters.com. The essay is called Shakespeare in Prison Changed My Life, written by Larry Stromberg. So I'm constantly writing. Writing is just a great way for me to, you know, pursue my redemption and hopefully tell good stories to help people. So
yeah,
I'm doing a lot of writing. So
do you ever get to see any of the finished product?
I get copies mailed to me. I've seen some of my film, Spiritual Warfare, at a visit. So there are times where I get to see some of my stuff. You know, I'm going to do a Christmas play for Christmas time. It's called The Magical Forest of Old for the Christmas show. And it's a short play I wrote off Fairmont Park when I was walking my dogs back in the early 90s. So, and I love performing too when the opportunities are given. And so I do get to see my work. And I'm happy that even in prison I get a chance to perform some of my plays. I did a lot of plays with Reentry Rob. Robert,
I know, Burns, I was going to.
We were doing plays.
That's what I wanted to ask you about because I know about Man Up.
Yes.
And I know that was big before COVID, before the pandemic.
Yes, it was.
What's going on now with Man Up? Do you know?
I think. Well, I was told that they're trying to make arrangements with the institution to bring that back up. So I'm hoping they do in some capacity. But you know, with Robert Groves, we must have like about 10 plays together, and it really changed people's lives.
Can you tell the audience a little bit about Man Up?
About now, like what we're doing now?
Well, tell the audience maybe what Man Up was, what you guys did, who were the type of guests that came?
Well, there were outside, there were, I see at one time, Larry Krasner's office came up, there were judges that came up, there were police officers that came up. There were individuals believing for second chances for lifers. One session of Man Up, we celebrated women, mothers, and mothers that lost children to gun violence. The people that attend were the population, the young men here that needed some kind of structure for a better future out in society. Even when it comes to like having financial success, owning a business, learning the tools to do that, and Man Up was like a 10-week process, different topics for the betterment of the men coming to be at the Man Up workshops. And I'll tell you one thing: it really changed guys' lives. Many men said, "This really changed my life." And there are men that left here that are doing, that are very successful by applying the Man Up principles out today in society. So it was a positive thing. I pray they bring that back. They need to bring that back. Especially with the young guys coming into the prison system. They have no structure. They need to know that education is important. Programs, learning trades, and that you can be successful out in society and not be a part of a recidivism statistic. So
yeah.
I hope they bring that back real soon.
Well, was Man Up though really about artistic expression, or is also included education?
Both.
Okay.
It honed on everything. It honed on the importance of education. It honed on crafting your artistic gifts. You could be a singer. You could be a writer. You could be an actor. You could be a poet. Strengthen your trade education. You know, you want to own a business. Do you want to be a successful plumber? Whatever it may be, whatever your heart's desire, that you can be successful.
You have 1 minute left.
So that's what that was about.
And more so. Yeah. It sounds like some people, maybe you said it was life-changing, people maybe didn't know until they were able to participate in that Man Up program, what their actual, how to let their voice out.
It changed my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it changed my life too, so.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, Mr. Stromberg, for coming on here, for sharing your story. I'm gonna look out for some of the works that you mentioned. And I wish you peace.
Thank you,
I wish you peace, and thank you for continuing to contribute to our society in the way that you are.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate it. I'm really grateful. God bless you too. So thank you.
Yeah. Take good care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The caller has hung up.
LWAP listeners, please don't go anywhere. We will be right back with one of Mr. Stromberg's loved ones. Thank you.
I love an emotion endlessly. I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I won't show. I love an emotion endlessly. Cause you're a good girl and you know it. You act so different around me. Cause you're a good girl and you know it. Exactly who you could be. Just hold on, we're going home. Just hold on, we're going home.
Hello, everybody. We are back, LWAP listeners. We are back. We've got Robert Groves. We interview Rob on the line. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, Stace. Good morning, LWAP listeners.
Good morning.
How'd everything go with Larry, with Mr. Stromberg?
That was a remarkable interview. He's a very talented man, and he's doing so much and giving back. It's amazing how he's giving back to the world from behind bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've got Larry Kirshner on, his friend, his dear loved friend.
Right. Hello.
Morning. First of all, thank you for being on the show, Mr. Kirshner.
Sure.
Before we find, you know, your connection between you and Mr. Stromberg, like, you know, how it was formed. Can you give our listeners, like, a brief introduction of yourself?
Okay. My name is Larry Kirshner. I'm in my 70s. I've been a videographer for most of my life, my adult life, and I also worked in independent films with various people throughout my earlier days, and that's where I met Larry Stromberg. He was working on an independent film in the Philadelphia area, and I helped him out a little bit. I was older than he is, so I was sort of I wouldn't say a mentor, but I was a little more mature than maybe some of the other people there. So that's how we met Larry, yeah. And
Your name came up several times. I performed, I also write skits and short plays, and I was part of this organization called the Man Up Organization, and we put on skits, you know, like positive affirmation and stuff like that. But Mr. Kirshner, where and when did your friendship with Mrs. Stromberg start, and why?
Well, it started when we met when he was doing Spiritual Warfare. He was shooting it was a horror film that almost everybody who tries to break into films does horror films first because they're easier to do. You don't need a lot of light and so forth. And so I met Larry there. We sat in the Philadelphia area. We did various shooting and the film was shot and was completed. And then after Larry was incarcerated over the years, he finished the script, sent it to me, and I actually edited. His mother put it on digital format, and I edited the film Spiritual Warfare, which is now on YouTube under Larry Stromberg's name. So it was quite a journey. It took years to do it because he.
This is a call from SCI.
And he's very proud of it. He should be.
Recording and monitoring.
I think that anything that it's so hard to. Get anything. I don't know. Let me rephrase that. It's extremely hard to get anything done from behind these walls and gates, and it
sure.
only comes from support. You know.
Yeah, and
himself. And such as his
well, thank you. And I'll also mention one other thing. Larry, I think, has a computer where you can make corrections. But when we were working on this script for years, he couldn't, there was no, he did, his typewriter couldn't really make corrections. You know, it wasn't the kind of thing where you don't like the sentence, you got rid of it. You know, it was much harder back then too. So yeah. Caveman. Yeah, really. It was sort of like the caveman kind of thing. And, but we worked it out. We added another character and the film eventually got finished. And as I said, it's on YouTube, under Larry's name. So, Spiritual Warfare.
That's good. I got to ask you a question. Prior to meeting Larry, did you have any like preconceived ideals or notions or opinions, you know, when it came to those incarcerated?
Let me put it this way. My notion has changed since I met Larry and since I've, you know, what he's been going through and since I met other people at Greater Ferd and Phoenix. Lifers, because we went a few times to some shows that Larry did over the years, and so we met numerous of people. And not sure what my opinion.
SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution. This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
I'm not sure exactly what my opinion was before meeting Larry, but certainly now that I've met him and these other people, you know, I feel like you know, death, I mean, life in prison without a chance for parole is ridiculous. I mean, it just shouldn't be. And I maybe didn't think that way 5 years ago, but I certainly do now after having seen the reality of it. And the people I've met at Phoenix are not the same people who committed the crimes 30, 40 years ago. And without a doubt.
Absolutely. So, you kind of answered one of my questions, but I'm gonna expand on it.
Okay.
Now that you have firsthand knowledge of the system, mm-hmm. and those trapped in, it seems like your perception has changed. And I say this all the time, that who we were is not who we've become.
Yes, and, absolutely.
So it's like these platforms, whether it be LWAP Radio or the Groves Notebook, and I'm not sure if you've visited the Groves Notebook, but Larry Jordan, it's a platform on Facebook called the Groves Notebook, and what we do is we highlight the efforts, achievements, and transformations of those who are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, going back to what you said, these platforms are never created to like overshadow the pain that was inflicted by those who were impacted.
Right. Sure. Yeah. You know, no.
It's just
you can't
to show that. Just like you said, 30 years, 40 years later, we have changed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To have somebody just absolutely away in prison.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just curious if I can ask you a quick question. In European countries, my understanding is that there is no, that they 20, 30 years is the max in most cases. Do you know anything about that?
Correct.
That's what I kind of thought. Yeah.
The majority of the countries, and what's so important about that question is what they do is they incentivize change. So meaning if you come to prison, you're not getting a slap on the wrist. No, you're going to do some hard time. But what they're saying is after 15 to 20 years, 25 years, you'll come back in front of us. And then if you educated yourself, if you utilize your time and resources productively, then guess what? We'll go ahead and you'll go in front of some fact finders and we'll see exactly if you're worthy of a second chance. But here in the United States, you don't get that.
You don't get that. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you have maybe six states. There's maybe six without the possibility of parole. And the other states do. There's many states that do have parole after 25 years. Pennsylvania, unfortunately, is not one of them.
It's not one of them, right? Right.
How would you describe Larry's artistic talents and how he channels this gift for all those that enjoy? And the reason I'm asking you that is because in this environment, it's so hard to focus. It's so hard to kind of like sit down somewhere and actually lock and load with all that's going on around.
With all that's going on, yeah, I can imagine. Well, I think he's incredibly focused. I mean, his writing is clearly his release, and he seems to love it and just doesn't seem to, he seems very focused. He sends me stuff a lot. And as I mentioned, you know, even with a computer, it's still typed out. And if you can't really erase, you know, you don't want to change it. You can't change every other word. You'll never get finished. And, but his writing is, it's for, I've been trying to, hopefully one day. He writes almost exclusively, which is understandable, about his experiences and about, you know, what it's like to be incarcerated and all that goes along with it. Right. I've been trying to encourage him to write something that has absolutely nothing to do with that. Something completely different. I'm not sure. Maybe he has, but I've never seen it. But maybe he'll give it a shot. You know, try something, off the wall. But, you know, most people obviously write about what they know and what their feelings are. And Larry's written a ton of stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's written 50 plays maybe or so. And, we've seen a few performed at the prisons. And they were well done. No teleprompters or anything. They memorize their lines, and there are a lot of lines.
That's
yeah,
nice.
A lot of lines. So
there's,
yeah,
I wanted to ask you. There are many yep. layers to who we are as human beings, and one bad decision shouldn't define us.
Right.
You obviously touched on this, but I wanted to ask you. You know, are you a believer of second opportunities for those who have clearly displayed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Larry's certainly one of them for sure. And others too. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Second. I mean, people make mistakes all the time. Some are worse than others. And but yeah, second chances. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's
and
my layer. See, that's Mr. Gerson. That's my layer. That's that's what's so important about this mm-hmm. platform that we're sharing today.
Right.
Is to
right.
make sure that people understand they can go ahead and tap into, you know, who we are today, because if you was just mm-hmm. to go on the DOC.net and look up Larry, you would see a brief summary of his crime, you would see his charges, but you would not see any of the progress.
Progress,
anything that he's made, and this is my whole point behind, and I will make sure that Stacey does give you the link to the Grooves Notebook, because you've got
okay,
to
sure.
check this out, they sort of blow
I
your
will.
Mind. I wanted to ask you, I believe,
yes.
When the true character of a person can be shared amongst the world, that he or she can be known, loved, and forgiven. How would you describe, Larry, the man you have come to know today versus who his crime depicts him to be? Getting deep with
you, Larry. Tell you the truth, Larry, before his crime, is the same guy, Larry, after his crime. That his crime was this just moment in time that was horrible, that doesn't define him at all. And because he was a compassionate guy before his crime, people liked him a lot. He was friendly, warm, you know, everything you would want, and he still is. And remorseful, but now he's very remorseful, of course, and without a doubt. I mean, every time I talk to him, he reiterates the fact that he's how remorseful he is for what he did. And he's told me that 100 times, and he doesn't need to keep telling me, but he feels like he does. So he does. It's okay.
And that comes through change, Mr. Kirsten, when you truly feel, and what I mean, I'm talking about that internal change, when you truly feel that you have changed, I mean, mm-hmm. you've evolved as a human being, then there are certain things that you will want the people that are around you, your support team, the people that love you, to truly know this, even though you do know it. I repeat a lot mm-hmm. of stuff a lot of times to people, and they're like, you don't have to say it. And I just think it's important that the mm-hmm. people that we do have as a support system, you, mm-hmm. the mother, and
right.
then, you know, you have many mm-hmm. people here
right.
that, you know, that consider
yeah.
him a friend,
sure.
that
yeah.
know truly who he is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. No, that's, yeah, no, that's, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, he's doing the best he can with the situation he's in at the moment. And hopefully he'll get out, while he's still healthy and can contribute even more to the society. Cause I know he'd be working on day one, you know, if he got out, he'd be looking for a job right away. And
he's a man that I watch every single day, like when others are going to the yard, in other places, this guy's going down to hospice, you know, to mm-hmm. help people that
yeah, are, you know, right, for right.
cancer, you know.
Yeah.
This is the thing that he doesn't get paid.
You have 1 minute left.
Things that you do because you want to. Mm-hmm. But, Mr. Kirshner, that's my time. I want to thank you, sir, for taking the time to come on LWOP Radio.
Yes, it was great to talk to you, and I keep doing the best you can do, and I know you will.
I might be tapping back into you. We might have a documentary on our hands. Who knows?
Okay, I'm around. I'm not going anywhere, I hope. So, all right, nice talking to you.
Peace and blessings to you. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Take care.
All right, listeners. All right, listeners, don't move in next. Space will be interviewing Mrs. Stromberg next, Larry's mother. I'll see y'all next week. Same place, same time, same fight. Reentry Rob, no rehearsals. Why? Because I live it. Stace, good work.
Yep.
Please, please, please send my regards to Mr. Schomburg and let her know
He'll
that
do.
His son is great hands. And stay safe and stay blessed.
Take care.
Love you, Rob.
Love Thank you, you for Bye-bye. Using Securus. Goodbye.
Life Without Parole listeners, please don't go anywhere. We'll just take a quick musical interlude and we'll come right back with Diane Stromberg.
Things alone. Just hold on, we're going home. Oh, oh, oh. I got my eyes on you. You're everything that I see. I want your high love and emotion. Endlessly, I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. 'Cause you're a good girl and you know it. You act so different around me.
Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back. Mrs. Stromberg, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for this great opportunity.
It's our pleasure. Before we speak with you, I just wanted to, if it's okay, take a moment to just address what Rob and Mr. Kirshner were talking about. Mr. Kirshner had asked about life without parole sentences in other countries, and I was looking something up and found some information on that. I just wanted to share real quick. It's from the International Penal Reform, whatever that organization is. But basically, it says that the sentence of life without parole means different things in different countries. But it does exist. And it says, like, in Bulgaria, England, Wales, Estonia, Kenya, Sweden, Turkey, Ukraine, and the United States, we have this quote unquote life without parole sentence. But only in a couple of countries, like the United States, and it gives Turkey as one other, there may be no possibility of release under any circumstances.
Hmm. Wow.
And it also says Vietnam, for example, is a country where there is an amnesty, like an amnesty can be granted. And it says it's usually granted after a prisoner has served 20 to 30 years. Or in Bulgaria and Sweden, people can actually petition the government for a pardon. It's been abolished, like life without parole and no possibility of getting out has been abolished in most European countries. And then there's a couple like India and China, they say, that have adopted it as a formal statutory sanction in just the recent years. But it really means different things. There's no like, you know, it's differently defined depending on where you are in the world. So I thought that was interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on it real quick. I wanted to ask you some questions before we get started here. Sorry, I lost my place here. Just if you could do me a favor and maybe just describe Larry's upbringing a little bit and maybe what your relationship was like with your son before he went to prison.
I'm having trouble hearing you a little bit, Stacey.
Okay. Well, if you hear some noise in the background, do your best to just filter it out. It's probably just, the radio connection, but you're coming across fine. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, it's a little better.
Okay. So if you could just describe Larry's upbringing a little bit and what your relationship was like with him before prison.
Okay. Larry's upbringing, I believe that he was happy. and he had a lot of fun up until the time I lost two other children that made me very depressed. The demon set in, causing me, I believe, to be unaware of all the evil outsiders that caused misery on him and his sister, that later had a really bad impact on both their lives. But his upbringing, he was happy. We were happy as a family.
Well, that is, that was,
when I say evil outsiders, I mean babysitters, people that I want to aware of things that were going on that I should have been more attentive. But I'm not using depression as an excuse, but as a mother, I should have been more attentive.
So did you say, Mrs. Stromberg, that you had, there were two deaths?
Yes, I had a son and a daughter died. As and they affected not only me, my husband as well. And I believe it affected Larry and my other daughter, Michelle, is also in heaven.
Right. I just want you to know, ma'am, I'm sure you're already aware, I do have friends who also had deaths of children and also were unable to, what they feel, you know, give their other children who are alive the attention that they felt they needed. And there were problems there. You're not alone.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing to lose a child. And I lost two. I didn't think that would happen to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But I'm thankful that I still have my son, Larry. All my children are blessed. Larry has been incredible.
How have you been able to maintain a healthy, loving relationship with Larry despite the obvious hurdles that you face now?
Quite simply, to answer that, I have to say the mercy of Almighty God and his son contributes very much to my undying love for my son. We have a God that's very forgiving. I'm perfect. I made my mistakes. And I watched consequences through my son. It's very heart-wrenching, actually. But he's an inspiration to me. Unbelievable. He's an inspiration to me.
Mm. Are you able to see him often?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Can you see him often?
I speak to him when I can. Yes. I text him every day, but I don't get to talk to him very often because I'm in the process of getting a new phone. And a new phone number where we can talk regularly.
I see. So what has changed in your eyes decades later when we refer to Larry's overall transformation?
Nothing has changed other than the fact that I have more admiration for him. I had more admiration. I mean, ever since he was a young boy, I noticed that he had talents. I never knew that he had writing ability. His acting was superb, extraordinary. I knew it from a very young age. And his sister as well. Nothing has changed other than the fact that I love him even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what Mr. Kirshner had said too. He's the same person that he was when he went in. In fact, Mr. Kirshner said he's probably the kind of guy who never even had a detention growing up.
Yes. That is a very accurate statement from Larry Kirshner. He's so been blessed in his life as well.
How proud are you of Larry when it comes to his talents?
I'm extremely proud, immensely. Good morning. Larry has extraordinary talents. God bless him. Like I said, we're very young. That's positive. And once I saw that, I tried to enhance it the best I could. Him and his sister going for casting calls. I watched him from a young boy when he was 10 all the way up into manhood. It's like unbelievable. I wish and hope and pray that he will have the opportunity to get out of prison and share and inspire people.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the criminal legal system impacts families and friends and supporters in different ways. How has Larry's incarceration impacted your family?
It affected our family very, very hard. Especially my husband. I honestly believe that it contributed to his heart attack. Larry and his father was very, very close. And and maybe I'm going off the base a little here, but the fact that I don't think it's spiritual, very Larry. And I say that because Larry is what you call method act. Method actors actually get into their character. At the time, Larry was doing a horror film, and the director actually said Larry became one of his characters when he committed his crime. So I guess I could compare it to Heath Ledger when he did the Joker. He got so involved into his character. That's what method actors do. And I don't think that courts and jury recognize that, or maybe they just didn't. Yes, it's been very hard on us.
Okay, so not if, but when Larry receives relief through the courts or through the commutation process, how do you plan on supporting him with his successful reintegration?
I would assist him in and with any endeavor that the Almighty God places in his way. And in the meantime, I would still, now, I need money to tell him, you know, I would still try to remember to don't spread to me that. I'm personally not so very hard. I would assist him in any of his days. That's the best answer I'm giving.
I don't doubt that. So I'm just curious, if you had the undivided attention, right, of those who hold Larry's freedom in the balance, what would you tell them?
I would ask them to use compassion and understanding. But a young man who has a lot to offer, I think, contributed to the outside world. That's what he needs. There's so many people out there hurting him. And I believe Larry has the genuine potential to do this. And I also think once he was out of prison, I think he would still continue to go to prisons and help them. That's just the kind of person I would. And I would ask him to please give this young man the opportunity to help others and to give him freedom. I've lost everybody who has him and my granddaughter. And I'm up in the 80s. If not for me, but I would like to have a system where God calls me.
Mrs. Stromberg, is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners that we haven't touched on yet? Anything at all?
Yeah, I want to tell my son that I love him and I want to thank him for the inspiration he gives me every day in my text. Thank him for his prayer. We tell him that I'm proud of him. And I'm sure that he's going to. Sisters and brother daughter as well. And I'm just a very crucial for his goodness, his compassion, his friendship. The undying attention he's given me so. And also thank you, Stacy, for giving me this opportunity. Sorry if I sound so good. I just think this is a wonderful chance for me to come. How I feel. And also, I think God, he's wonderful. Definitely want to do those new things more. Yeah, I also look to people who go to YouTube and watch Spiritual Warfare, Larry and Stronger, 2018.
We want to thank you so much, you know, again, on behalf of Robert Groves for being willing to come onto the show, for speaking so candidly about such a painful time in your life.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Yeah. And I'm sending you wish peace.
Definitely peace.
So
thanks, Stacey. I'm still here, Larry. So you did a great job.
We're gonna take a quick musical interlude. Both of you are welcome to disconnect. It might be better actually on my end, airwaves wise. Thank you again for both being on the show.
Sure.
And listeners, don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Okay. See you, Diane.
See ya.
I know exactly who you could be. So just hold on, I'm going home. Just hold on, we're going home. It's hard to do these things alone. Just hold on, we're going home.
Welcome back to the Life Without Parole show. This is Stacey Mandel. We just spoke with Larry Stromberg from SCI Phoenix. We spoke with Larry Kirshner, his dear friend, and we spoke with Larry's mother, Diane Stromberg. And I wanted to just wrap up the show with a little bit of an article that I found to be very moving about arts programming in prisons. It's about how arts programming in prisons is really more than just rehab. It's really radical activism. This is an article in Stanford Social Innovation Review. It's written by Kenyatta Emmanuel and Joysman Barrett. It was written last year. I'm just going to read a teeny little bit of it. It says, the first thing that you lose when incarcerated is your voice. After being stripped of your name and identified by number, your ability to communicate with the outside world is immediately curtailed. So a place where it can be unsafe to express feelings of joy, anger, sadness, remorse, or regret. But this voicelessness is systemic. Indeed, the system of mass incarceration depends on depriving incarcerated people of their voices and reducing them to rap sheets. If they could speak out of their full humanity, America's assembly line systems of mass incarceration would be unsustainable. I just
you know, it was just striking me while we were listening to Larry Stromberg talk about all of his works that he's written and all the plays he's done. And I've heard Rob Groves talk so much about the Man Up program. You know, in fact, I've only met Robert Groves in person once. And it was on my very first visit as a volunteer with Pennsylvania Prison Society. And it was Rob talking about the programming that used to be in place at SCI Phoenix, Man Up, which included all the artistic programming, like we talked about today, but also the educational programming. And that's also Rob's job. He works in reentry at the prison to bring programming in, to not wait, you know, but to bring it in before the men are released. And he was talking about that when I met him on that visit. And I believe in that myself so much that we all, as just human beings, have the right to learn, that we have the right to express ourselves. And that's why I said to Rob, you know, if I can help you in any way, I'm happy to. And then, you know, little did I know we would end up here. This wasn't even in existence, the show, at the time when I said that. But it kind of goes back to that. You know, when you are, it's one thing to be a human being and to lose your actual obvious freedoms when you're locked up. And also when you're sentenced to a life without any possibility of ever getting those freedoms back. But then it's another thing I ask everyone who's listening to consider what it would be like if you didn't have the ability, if you weren't free to even express yourself. So if you knew you were born with certain talents, certain gifts, you have a passion inside you, or maybe you're so young or so immature when you're sentenced that you don't even know who you are. Right? You haven't had the opportunity. You just haven't gotten to that point yet in life where you found what you want to do, what your calling is. What it would be like to never be able to explore that. And that's what the arts programs do. That's what Man Up does, which Man Up, by the way, is still not reinstated. We were talking with Larry Stromberg today. It's not back yet in the prisons. It was going, it was strong. Rob and Larry have both talked about how, you know, we had all these amazing guests from the outside coming in, and also what it did for the incarcerated. You know, Larry Stromberg said it, some men said it changed them for forever. Having that outlet to express oneself, having some platform where you can actually, even if it's not your own feelings, your own emotions, but even if it's acting, or maybe you're witnessing other actors express emotions, how important that would be. How fundamental of a need, a basic need, that is. So I'm just urging anyone who's listening, you know, if you're in a position where you can reach out to a superintendent at a prison, or you can write a letter, if you know someone, if you're connected to prisons, to speak up about the need for this programming to return. So that is going to do it for today's episode of Life Without Parole. I want you to know that you can join us every Friday, same place, same time, 9 a.m. on FetLifeStation.com. This show is an extension of the Groves Notebook, which was mentioned again today. The Groves Notebook is a Facebook page, and there are profiles, dozens and dozens of profiles of lifers serving life without the possibility of parole posted on this Facebook page. Some people have 75 pages next to their picture showing every single thing they've done in prison, every piece, every education, every training, work, certificates, every piece of documentation. It's like a visual confirmation that they have grown, that they are doing, that they are not just a name and a number and a face. So that's visual confirmation of the work that they have taken upon themselves to do in prison, even though they have been told and assured that they are never, ever going to get out. They're doing it anyway. So that is the Groves Notebook on Facebook. If you know someone who's serving this sentence, you can contact the administrator, Suave Gonzalez, to the directions are on there on how to submit their profile. You can connect with Rob Groves through the connectnetwork.com. He's at SCI Phoenix. You can email him at Robert groves731@gmail.com. You can connect with me, Stacy, at Your Big Mind on Instagram. I wanted to thank Lester Kinnion, as always, at FetLifeStation.com, and wishing everyone a safe and enjoyable weekend, and sending peace.
Endlessly, I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion. Endlessly, 'cause you're a good girl and you know it. You act so different around me. 'Cause you're a good girl and you know it. I know exactly who you could be. Just hold on, we're going home. Just hold on, we're going home. It's hard to do these things alone. Just hold on, we're going home. Hold on, I'm going home.